History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes, goes the saying attributed to Mark Twain. To those of a certain vintage, today's uprising in Iran carries not just the rhyme of history, but a sense memory of the people affected by the overthrow of the Shah in 1979. As a college student at the time, I had Iranian classmates with families still in the country. Not far away, at a similar school, we knew that Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi was a student. Today, Mr. Pahlavi remains in exile in the United States, an opponent of theocratic rule, aspiring to return to Iran and help bring democracy, he has said publicly. Our Patterns column, highlighted today, explores the echoes of the past. It's Friday, January 16th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from Monitor writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Iran said it would spare the life of a young Iranian man, Irfan Soltani, whom activists said was facing execution amid a crackdown on widespread protests against the regime. The Trump administration had threatened military action if the Iranian government used deadly force on protesters, and Thursday imposed new sanctions on Tehran. The crackdown has reportedly quelled demonstrations. Japan and the Philippines signed a defense pact amid growing tensions with China, facilitating joint combat drills meant to deter Beijing. China claims disputed waters in the South China Sea and has built up its military presence, leading to territorial confrontations. Japan and the Philippines are among the United States' strongest allies in the region. Also, Galapagos birds are returning to the island of Floriana, where Charles Darwin visited nearly two centuries ago. The naturalist was the last to record a Galapagos rail, a small, shy bird that can fly and swim, but isn't very good at either. Thought to be extinct, the rail is one of several rare birds rebounding following a program to eradicate rats and feral cats. One biologist told the BBC, "It was a remarkable instant comeback." Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Some businesses in Minneapolis and other cities are refusing entry to federal immigration officers, reflecting local dissatisfaction with the Trump administration's deportation campaign as tensions continue to escalate. Sarah Matusik and Victoria Hoffman report from Minneapolis and Boston for the Monitor. Formation of the Apolitical Palestinian Committee, which met for the first time in Cairo, follows months of low-level conflict and unfulfilled pledges that have threatened the Israel-Hamas ceasefire. In Gaza, it was greeted with skepticism and hope. Taylor Luck and Ghada Abdul Fattah report from Amman, Jordan, and Deir al-Balah, Gaza Strip, for the Monitor. The historic protests in Iran have become increasingly deadly. They're also showing more parallels with another uprising nearly 50 years ago that forced Iran's seemingly untouchable leader at the time to flee. Ned Temko writes from London for the Monitor. AI chatbot Grok was used to make provocative deepfake images of women and children, angering many. Though the social platform X has now suspended that capacity, the episode has highlighted how differently Europe and the U.S. view big tech and its regulation. Colette Davidson reports from Paris for the Monitor. Belgian filmmakers Jean-Pierre and Luc Dardenne veer away from easy solutions to the challenges their young mothers face, while holding room for growth and change. Peter Rayner writes for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on why Iran's protesters look to Iraq. When Iranians take to the streets in mass protest, as they have once again since December 28, they often cite the soft role that Islam plays in Iraq, a real democracy right next door. A good example happened in Iraq on January 11th, or about the time that soldiers and police in Iran reportedly began shooting thousands of protesters to preserve the Islamic Republic and its self-presumed mantle as leader of the Muslim world. On that day, Iraq's top Shiite cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, gave his response to a request from leading politicians in Baghdad to endorse a particular candidate for prime minister. They looked to this learned and revered figure, who lives quietly in the Shiite holy city of Najaf, to end months of political infighting. In the minority branch of Islam called Shiism, Mr. al-Sistani carries even more religious heft than the top religious authority in Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Both Iran and Iraq are majority Shiite. Here is Mr. al-Sistani's response to the squabbling politicians. The highest religious authority has already made it clear that it refuses to have the names of candidates for the position of prime minister presented to it. So why try again? May God protect you. Mr. al-Sistani does not see clerical rule as feasible for Iraq, a religiously diverse nation. As long as I am alive, the Iranian experience will not be repeated in Iraq, Mr. al-Sistani has said. It is the people who must live up to their civic and religious ideals, he indicates, expressed through fair elections under a popular constitution. For decades, Mr. al-Sistani and Mr. Khamenei have differed on this point, a contest of ideas over political Islam that has played out across the Middle East, often violently. The two men also differ over whether the spiritual capital of Shiite Islam should lie solely in Iraq or Iran. The latest protests, if they eventually provoke regime change in Tehran, might settle such questions. Particularly notable is that large protests erupted in Qom, Iran's seat of Shiite learning, where clerics favored national rule by clerics. The protests there signaled a major symbolic breach in a city long seen as politically untouchable, stated the Iran International News site. In another holy city, Mashhad, a seminary was set on fire. Such protests have made a clear link between clerical misrule and economic mismanagement. Polls indicate that most Iranians now support a separation of politics and religion. Meanwhile, in Iraq, the top cleric has now dashed the hopes of political leaders that he would endorse their candidate. As Mr. al-Sistani advised, with perhaps a wink towards spiritual reflection, may God protect you. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how reading the Christian Science textbook brings us a clearer view of God and His creation and healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.